Good morning, everyone. My name is Daniel, and we're moving to the time of our service where we're actually going to hear from our Heavenly Father through His Word, the Bible. So we've got a Bible reading today, which is from the book of John, chapter 5, verses 16 to 27, which, if you've got one of the church Bibles, is on page 1619. And just for a bit of context as we're finding that passage, just before this passage, Jesus has actually healed a man who's been ill, who's been lame for about 38 years, I think it was, which is what this passage is in response to. So John chapter 5, verses 16 to 27. So, because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jewish leaders began to persecute him. In his defense, Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working." For this reason, they tried all the more to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Jesus gave them this answer, "Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he does. Yes, and he will show him even greater works than these, so that you will be amazed. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but he has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honour the Son just as they honour the Father. Whoever does not honour the Son does not honour the Father who sent him. Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. Very truly I tell you, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to also have life in himself. And he has given him authority to judge, because he is the Son of Man."
Well, thanks so much, Daniel. Let's get into that passage of Scripture. Let me introduce myself if we've not met before. My name's Des Smith. I'm the senior pastor here at Trinity Church Lockleys. Let me add my welcome to you on this Father's Day. It's great to be here, wherever you are in life. Why don't we pray now, and then we're going to get into God's Word. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we do thank you that we get to call you Father. We don't deserve to be able to call you Father, and yet because of what you've done in Jesus by your Spirit, we can. Father, we pray that we might all today know your fatherly care, perhaps for the first time, and we'll do it for your glory and for our joy. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Father's Day is obviously a day that we think about our dads. We all have very different relationships with our dads. Some of us have really great relationships with our dads. Others, well, they're more strained. Or maybe we don't have any relationship at all. Some of our dads are still alive. Others of us have lost our dads, or perhaps our dads are really unwell. And so today, for some of us here, today might actually be really a tough day. But today, even though it is Father's Day, we're not actually going to think about our dads. Instead, we're going to think about God, the dad we can all have. You see, Christians routinely call God Father, so it doesn't actually seem weird at all to us to think about him like this. But actually, in the history of world religion, calling God your dad is very strange indeed. No one actually ever calls God Father or ever has. So, for example, in Islam, Muslims will call God Allah, literally the God, and Islam has 99 other names for God, but none of them is Father. They're all titles, things like the All-Powerful, the All-Merciful, etc. Hinduism has millions of gods, but none of them are thought of in fatherly terms, and Buddhism, which grew out of Hinduism, doesn't either. Even Judaism, the religion that Christianity grew out of, very, very rarely calls God Father. There are a couple of references in the Old Testament to God as Israel's father in Deuteronomy and Isaiah, but they're very rare, and even then, they're often much more about how God is the father of the nation of Israel. People didn't think of God as their father personally, as that would seem much too familiar and disrespectful. Rather, they would refer to him as God or the Lord, or even for modern Jews, just call him the name, in case they accidentally misuse his name by saying it out loud. So in the history of the world, almost no one has ever called God Father. But then Jesus bursts on the scene and he starts calling God Father all over the place. Here's just a smattering of examples from the Bible. When Jesus is about to raise his friend Lazarus from the dead, he prays, John chapter 11, verse 41, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. When he's talking to his disciples, he says, John chapter 12, my Father will honor the one who serves me. When he's about to go to heaven, John chapter 14, my Father's house has many rooms. When Jesus is working on the Sabbath, a no-no for Jews like himself, he says this in his defense. We just had it read out to us. My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working. So basically, what you've got is no one in human history calling God Father. And then Jesus suddenly comes along and starts calling him Father all the time. What's going on? Well, the reason Jesus does it is because Jesus is actually God in human form, and so he can call God his Father. You see, God is not actually simple like us, but complex as you would expect the God of the universe to be. He is one God, but he's in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's what Christians call the Trinity. And God the Son, the second person of the Trinity, became a person, a human, in Jesus Christ. That's what we're going to celebrate in just a few months at Christmas, that God the Son entered the world as Jesus. And so Jesus can call God his Father because he is. Jesus is God's Son. And because of that, Jesus has a relationship with God like no other. God shows Jesus all that he does, and he empowers him to do all he does. That's what he said that in that reading that we had from John chapter 5, isn't it? It's going to come up on the screen again. Jesus gave them this answer, "Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, and he will show him even greater works than these, so that you'll be amazed. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him." In other words, Jesus is God's Son, and so they are totally tight. Everything the Father has and is and knows, he shows to his Son Jesus, and he gives him the power to do it. There is total closeness and intimacy between Jesus and God. You see, who you are determines where you can go, doesn't it? I want you to imagine for a moment that for some reason you are determined to sneak into the Oval Office in the White House. For some reason, you really want to get in there. And so you go on a tour of the White House, and at the crucial moment, you slip away from the tour group. You kind of go up to the door of the Oval Office. For some reason, the guards, they're not there. Maybe they're out, you know, having a smoke. And you go in, and there's no one there. And so you go up to the desk. The one that you've seen on TV so many times before. It's right there in front of you. You're so stoked. You've finally made it into the Oval Office. But then you hear a noise. There's someone coming. You panic and you look for a place to hide. But there's nowhere. So in desperation, you hide under the desk and hope no one finds you. From under the desk, you hear the door open and someone walk across the room. And to your horror, they come around the desk and sit down. The President of the United States, the most powerful person in the world, is sitting not 1 foot away from you as you hide under their desk. Can you imagine how much trouble you would be if you got discovered under there? There would be hell to pay, wouldn't there? Because you don't belong under the desk of the US president. But here's the thing. Do you know that this exact scenario has actually happened? That someone has actually hidden under the desk of the US president while he was still there? And that when he was discovered, actually far from getting in trouble, people actually thought it was kind of cute. How could that be? Well, because of who he was, let's see the photograph. It was actually the US president's son, JFK Jr. You see, it makes the point, isn't it? When you're a regular person, you can't be close to the president. They're far too important. But when you're his son, you can get as close as you like because he's your father. And it's the same with Jesus and God. Because Jesus is God's son, he can be as close to God as he likes. He has total access to him because God is his father. But do you know the really amazing thing? Is that even though we have no right to be in God's presence, we don't belong in the Oval Office, if you like, Jesus actually offers to make God our Father as well. We can actually have the same intimacy with God that even Jesus does. Now, of course, Jesus doesn't offer to make us God's children in exactly the same way that he is God's son. Jesus is the unique son of God because he is God the Son in the flesh. At the very start of his biography of Jesus, John says this in John chapter 1, verse 14. The Word, that's Jesus, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, Jesus, he is the one and only Son of God in the sense that none of the rest of us is God. So in that sense, no, Jesus is unique. No one's taking that role as God's Son. But he does offer to adopt us into his family and make us God's children that way. John puts it this way in the verses directly before those, verses 12 to 13. To all who did receive Jesus, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Now, how does he do that? How does Jesus the Son make God our Father too? Well, by paying for all of the wrong things that we've done that stop us having access to God and then inviting us back into relationship with him. You see, John puts it this way in a letter that he wrote after he wrote that biography. 1 John 3, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And what was that love? Well, 1 John 4, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. You see, that is how Jesus can make us children of God, able to call God our Father. By dying on a cross to pay for our sins so that we can be forgiven and then welcomed home again. You see, there is only one true Son of God, Jesus. The Father only has one of him. And yet he loved you and me so much that with the Son's full agreement, he was willing to send him into a hostile earth and die a terrible death to pay for our awful sins so that we could actually be adopted into his household and brought home. You see, how do you get into the Oval Office? Well, you can't sneak in. Secret Service will be all over you. But if the Son invites you in on a play date, if little JFK Jr. says, "Why don't you come in? Come and play in my daddy's office." You can come in. Now, the cross was no play date, but it was how we can have God as our Father. He dies for the things we've done, which we shouldn't. But he invites us into his Father's presence and says, he can be your dad too. And when he does that, amazingly, we actually get all the same rights of sonship that Jesus has. You can finally actually come in front of God, not feeling guilty or afraid, but comfortable and at peace. I wonder, I've used this illustration before, so forgive me for repetition. I'm a dad. That's what we're meant to do, right? Repeat ourselves. But I wonder if when you were a kid, or if you're still a kid here, or a teenager, you had that kind of friend. You know, we've all got friends. You know, you go over to their place and, you know, you go and bounce on the trampoline and you kick a soccer ball and you do PS4 or whatever, or PS5, and then you come in and you want a drink. Now, with most of your friends, probably, you're still at the point where you need to be polite and you need to ask the mum or dad, oh, you know, can I grab a drink from the fridge or whatever. But there are some friends, maybe just one or two, where you are so close with your friend that you've become so much a part of the family that you no longer even need to ask if it's okay to grab a drink from the fridge. Like, the parents have made it really clear to you that you are basically part of the family anyway, so you don't even need to ask. You can just go and grab a Coke. You can just go and grab a drink. I call it fridge rights. Sometimes you become such good friends with the kid of the household that you've developed fridge rights in that house. You're basically just one of the gang. And so you just go in there and you grab a Coke and mum or dad don't even think twice about it. Well, when you become a Christian, that's what you get with God. You get fridge rights. Because you are best friends with the son of the house. You got total access. All because of Jesus. God can actually become our Father too. So what does this mean for us? Well, if you're visiting us with us today and you're not yet calling yourself a Christian, this is all maybe new to you, or maybe it's part of your background, but, you know, church is not a regular thing for you, or you just don't know where you stand with Jesus. First of all, can I say you're so welcome here and we're so glad you came, and not just for the bacon and egg rolls. And I don't know what your relationship with your father is or was. And, you know, maybe it was great or maybe it was bad. I don't know. But I can tell you this, whatever your relationship is or was with your human father, God offers to be a heavenly father to you who will never let you down, who will always be there for you, who will always want you to come and talk to him when you need his help, all because of what Jesus has done. I don't know how you think about God. Maybe you think about God like this stern policeman. Maybe he's like the judgy aunt. Maybe he's someone else entirely. He need not be. He can be the dad. You come into the house and you just grab a drink out of the fridge. Not because you treat with him contempt, but because you know he loves you. And all you need to do to get that relationship is to admit that you do not deserve to be there. That you have mistreated him, at the very least ignored him. But you also know that he has done everything you need to patch that relationship up because of what his son Jesus has done for you. And once you say sorry, you're in there for good. You're never getting kicked off the sofa. If you want that, you can actually have that now. We're going to pray in just a moment. You can pray that prayer in the privacy of your own head, that you want the God of the universe to become your dad. And if you're a Christian here today, we already have God as our father. We already have God as our dad. And so we can call on him like that. I think even as Christians, we sometimes do think of God as slightly distant. And because of that, we are afraid to come to him as that. But God is not distant at all. He is actually your dad, not just your father, your dad. It's fascinating. When Jewish kids called out to their father, they used the word Abba, not the Swedish pop group. Like, it's the word for dad or daddy. And shockingly, that's exactly the word God says that we can use for him too. Romans 8, the spirit you received doesn't make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him, we cry, Daddy, Father. The spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we're God's children. So we needn't be afraid to come to God, that he's going to shoo us away. He's your dad. And so he wants to help. I can't think of a better thing to know on Father's Day. So why don't we pray? Loving Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much that you either are our dad or you can be our dad because of what you've done for us through your son Jesus. Father, we thank you for Jesus and all that he did to give us fridge rights with you. And Father, we pray that we'll never take that for granted, but know the joy of being part of your family. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, we've talked about that Father's Day.